It gives me now great pleasure to be able to introduce to you our speaker for the evening, Brother Jay Moser.
I hope it's not for all evening, but just for a portion of your evening to be your speaker. I'd like to relate to you something that my daughter told me. She said that the man, Scott, that's her friend, that has cancer, I guess it is. He's been placed in hospice, and he continues to ask for your prayers. So that's what she wanted you to know. I don't know if there's anything else. Pretty much it. And Ken and Gordon, I guess, went to go administer to him, and he was appreciative of that. And he would enjoy your prayers for him and his life and for his well-being. I have here a sermon. Actually, it's a lesson that I taught at the camp that we'd had down there. Now, the camp there, interestingly enough, it kind of goes along with our last song we sang, The Old, Old Path. And their theme was from the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 20. And I'll just read that to you. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And, of course, if you walk in the old path with our Savior, you will not be destroyed, and He is truly wise. But this lesson that I did with them was kind of a lesson about, you know, the differences between the two paths, one wise and one a foolish path. And one particular aspect, by the fathers of those paths, by Christ on one side and our adversary on the other. And what would we look at? And how? And what point in time would Jay Moser look at you and say, you are an adult, you are a person that's walking with the wise? At what point? Well, I consider you to be an adult. I'd like to tell you that. But to do that, I want to run through a bunch of scriptures. And I've got them written down here. If you can keep up with me, I'll try and tell you exactly where I'm reading. You may not be able to keep up with me because I don't want to spend all that time, you know, for you searching these scriptures. But I'm going to begin as we consider these two pathways, the path of the foolish and the path of the wise, the path of an adult person in Christ and the pathway of a child who is still thinking in a human way. So I'm going to read, beginning in 1 Peter 5, chapters 8 through 10, or excuse me, chapter 8, verses 8 through 10. I'll read that, and it says this. You'll recognize it as soon as I say it. 1 Peter 5, 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Well, the devil is, it says here, he's a roaring lion. What is a lion? Now, you know, the Lord, in some prophecies and in some comparisons, you know, is referred to as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Well, why would he be referred to the Lion? Well, at that particular time in history, in that part of the world, it was the king of beasts. The bears, everything yielded to this lion. The lion, the male lion, was the absolute king. And in this respect, Christ is like a lion. He's absolute king. There's nothing that can stand in his way. And so there are probably other things that you might be able to think of about that, but why is the devil referred to as a lion? Well, it says he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. Those who walk in a foolish way, those who are walking in a way of death, are predators. A predator. And so as you consider this, what a predator is, you know, it's characterized by plundering, practicing rapine, pillaging. A predatory excursion like the Vikings used to do, the predators, a predatory party, a predatory war, They're hungry. They're ravenous. So anyway, they live by preying upon other animals. Maybe that's the real good definition. A predator lives by preying on others. Predator lives by preying on other people. They destroy. And this is what we have to consider. And those who follow after Satan are so often predators. They're consumers. They produce no fruit or no good fruit, often. But not always. You know, there are people that, you know, we have mixtures of people. You're mixed in your life. You may do a little bit of both. But if you do a little bit of both, then you're confused and you're not really following the Lord. But a predator, someone who seeks, wants somebody else. You know, the people down in Mexico, these drug lords are absolutely predators. Nothing more than a predator. So let's continue to go on and reading about these predators. Matthew 7, 15 to 20. Matthew 7, 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. And wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. A wolf. Ravening wolves. They prey. They pray, and there's a lot of people, probably in some of these mega churches around. They pray. They live off of people, and certainly down in Honduras and Mexico, and probably even in our own country, the kind of people that some of our brothers arrest, they just go around looking for something weak, some place to pillage, to steal, to rob, to kill, to hurt, to get something free. That's what they do. Matthew 10, 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. God used this kind of a comparison between animals, and it doesn't mean that everything about that animal that we should be like, but we are supposed to be wise as serpents, in other words, cunning enough to discern and to look and see what kind of people are with us. And what kind of people are trying to influence us. And whenever in your life you feel uncomfortable when someone is expecting something of you, be wary. You know, I don't know, that seems to be, I don't know, maybe some of you don't have that sense. I do. I feel uncomfortable. I feel wary. They're asking something of me. They want something from me. It could be a salesman. You know, you just don't feel comfortable because they have a kind of a predatory nature about them. But we're to be harmless as doves. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Zephaniah 3, verse 1. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city, that would be Jerusalem. She obeyed not the voice, she received not correction, she trusted not in the Lord, she drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. Predators are violent. They intend to be violent. They do violence. When they don't get their way, they get upset. And they fight oftentimes. And that's what they are. So God's people, and you could even become, we could become this if we were not following our Lord and Savior. Ezekiel 22, verse 23 to verse 28. Ezekiel 22, verse 23. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, not rain, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion, ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. You know, that's what we have today, isn't it? People that don't put a real difference between what's evil and what's good, and there is a difference. And when people begin to mix that up, perhaps that person is actually a predator that you're talking with, that someone is going to lead you in the wrong way, down the wrong path. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood, to destroy souls, to give dishonest gain, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. So these are the kind of things that people do, that wolves do. All right, Acts 20 and 29, a verse that we often refer to about the apostasy of the church in the day of Paul, as it was beginning to work in his day, and the type, the things that would cause it to come to pass. But it says here in Acts 20 and 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. They're looking for something. They want something. They want to get something out of people. They want to change them. They want to manipulate them. And these are the kind of people. And down in Honduras, I felt this was just such a good thing to talk about, because the streets are filled with wolves, human wolves. And sometimes they come in groups of, in packs, where they just go around stealing. They go around looking to make sure to see what someone has purchased in their house. And they do it here too. I've seen them on my street. And they come around looking to see what you've got, and they come back later to get it. They're just they're wolves looking for something to steal, something to do. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 11. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Sounds kind of like a news broadcast, more or less, on a daily basis. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, and theirs also, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch in Iconium and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And we go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21, just a rehearsal of all the fruits of evil. And it's amazing to me when you look at these things, how many of these things are actually predatory. Predatory, people looking for something free, extra, unlawful, and how many of these things actually are just that way. And it says here in verse 19, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And the last one in our, on this side, on the bad side, is this one. And I think to me, and for maybe our day and time, I think it's a very important thing. I was thinking it was very important for them as I was looking at this. And Placido used this chapter, and he read right up to the verse that I'm getting ready to read you, and he stopped, and then it was my turn. And I just thought, you know, and I began to look at these verses of Scripture, and I think it applies to something that's going on right day. It applies to the gangs that we have all over the world now. And as I looked at it, I never really thought of it that way, but I looked at it, I said, yep, this is them. The gangs that are walking through the world selling drugs and saying, well, you know, you disrespected me. What that means is you're not letting me be the predator over you. That's what that means. People get disrespected, and that's really what it means. And they're not going to stand for it, and they're not getting their way. So this is what it says, verse 10, Proverbs 1, verse 10. Proverbs 1, verse 10. Beginning there, I'm going to read through verse 19. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole, as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. And surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. You know, to me, I thought, that really kind of describes those people. Greedy for gain. They're going to shed blood. They have a common purse. And don't disrespect me. You know, they're going through life that way. And they're predators. And they're worthy of death. Absolutely worthy of death. And I think this is an important subject because sooner or later, brothers and sisters, we are going to come across them. They're going to come in touch with us in some way. Maybe just getting in touch with your kids in school or maybe somehow, who knows. But there are just too many of them. They're everywhere. And right there in Honduras, in the town right down the road, just right down the road in Palmy, they have gangs now. And I can't think of anything more treacherous than that. And so I gave that warning to those young men, you know, and young women. You're going to get the invitations. Hey, come with us. Let's get rich. Don't do it. It's your death. And the amount of people that have been killed in Mexico is just unbelievable. I think it's 50,000 in 4 years or something, or 5 years. Unbelievable amount all over this stuff. It's real. And it could come near to us. Let's be prayerful, but don't go in their path. You will be destroyed. Now we're going to go to the other side. Side where Jesus Christ walks. John 10, verse 11. 11 through 15. John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. A shepherd. A pastor, as we would say in Spanish. You can be un pastor or un depredador. You can be a pastor, you can be a shepherd, or you can be a predator. This is your choice. When I see people who begin to take on the attitude of being pastors, shepherds, caring, that's the point where I begin to see they're becoming an adult. At that point, when they begin to care for the lives of other people in whatever way. But if you care not, you're just a predator. The good shepherd. Matthew 16:18. Matthew 16:18. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Our Savior, our pastor, our good shepherd, is also a builder. He builds. He doesn't tear down. He doesn't destroy. He builds. He cares for and he builds. This is his mission. This is what he does. This is the difference between someone walking in wisdom and someone walking in foolishness. A builder. Third Nephi 13 and 5. Jesus said this, "Therefore, what manner of men ought ye ought to be? Verily I say unto you, even as I am, and now I go unto the Father." Be like him. Be a builder. Be a pastor. Be a shepherd. Care for others. Take care. And what will the pastor do? What will the shepherd do with a lion? He'll kill it. First chance he gets, he'll kill that thing. In any opportunity he gets, he's going to kill that lion. And so sometimes, you know, they jokingly refer to God's people as just a bunch of sheep. But we have a shepherd. And you should be like him. Oh, we're far more fierce than a lion when we have a right cause. Far more fierce. 1 Timothy 3, verse 11. I picked this, and I'm not sure exactly how you'll receive it, but I picked this with a good reason. 1 Timothy 3, verse 11. "Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things." Well, you know, someday, some of the wives that are here have all of a sudden woke up one day and they're the wife of a minister. What does God require? What does God require of any woman? He requires of her that she be grave or serious-minded. Doesn't mean unhappy, but serious-minded. Not a slanderer. You're not a predator with your lips, but a builder, sober, faithful in all things. Good things. Colossians 3:18. Colossians 3:18, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord." You know, here's this, you know, that when you talk about women and wives and things, you think, well, what in the world? You know, there's a great misunderstanding of the Scriptures, at least among Christians. And a lot of Christians, I've seen Christian men who don't understand what they're reading when it comes to the submissiveness of their wife. And the best way that I can explain it is two people who are equal before God get married. One of them agrees, "Well, in the end, I will go where you lead. I'll do what you say in the end." But it says, "As it is fit in the Lord." As it is fit in the Lord. What a clause. You could preach all day long about that. As the Lord would have us do, never doing anything that is wrong. So the wives, and they put that there, you know, first thing, why? Because he didn't say husbands cause your wives to submit to you, even though that there are things that's a good with a family, and God asks that of some of his ministry, that their wives should be that way, and that they should work towards that end. But it doesn't mean you force them. So how do you have unity? If two people walk together, as the Lord said, you know, they have to be unified or they can't go. So how do you make unity? Somebody has to lead. You can't go two different directions. But it hasn't caused my wife to not tell me her opinion. And she's free to do it. And it hasn't caused me to not say, you know, you're free too. You're free to do anything you want. Only in the Lord. So there is a great deal of freedom, but there does come a point where that has to be. There has to be some sort of a submission, or there is no unity. And that's what it's all about. And it has nothing to do, as my wife can attest, has nothing to do with intelligence. It has to do with election, God's election. But anyway, we're going to go on from there. Just some thoughts. We're going on in this pathway. In Helaman 2. The book of Helaman, chapter 2, verse 133. Yeah. Helaman 2, verse 133. Behold, their women did toil and spin, and did make all manner of cloth, of fine twined linen, and cloth of every kind to clothe their nakedness. And here you find people on this side of the path. They're busy working. They're doing something that accomplishes something. They're building. They're doing something of value. They're producing. They're fruitful. On the other side, what do? You don't work. You take drugs and everything else that you can possibly imagine. You become a predator in a different way. But on the good side, we work. We carry our weight. We do what's right. Mosiah chapter 2, verse 25 through verse 27. Mosiah chapter 2, verse 25. And ye shall not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked, neither will ye suffer that they transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel one with another and serve the devil, which is the master of sin, or which is the evil spirit, which hath been spoken by our fathers, he being an enemy to all righteousness. But ye will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. Ye will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. And you know, as I thought about this morning, as I knew I was pretty sure what I was going to be speaking about this evening, I thought about Don's sermon. And you know, it just kind of dovetails. And hopefully more so as I even go on. You know, taking care of the church and the work of God. Take care. Build. Be a shepherd. Be responsible. Take ownership of the things that need to be done. 1 Timothy 5 and 8. 1 Timothy 5, 8. But if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now we're talking to men. If a man does not provide for his own, he does not care for those that are around him, he is not doing what God has commanded him to do. And this is something that, you know, I believe that to be a man takes care of those around him. That's what a man does. Period. They take care of those around them. In whatever way needs to be done, in whatever way, whether it's spiritual, whether it's temporal. And sometimes he doesn't even have to do everything, but he has to make sure that it gets done. He takes care of them. That is a man. Take care of your family. Take care of those that are near to you. And he cares for them in other things. He cares for the community that he lives in. He's never breaks it down or tears it apart or destroys it or becomes a predator in life. He takes care of what things. He builds. He causes fruit, growth. He builds things. That's what we do. Verse 16 of the same chapter, 1 Timothy 5, 16. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. Let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Interesting statement. Taking care, taking temporal responsibility for those that are near us, for those that are around us, and those in the church, taking that temporal responsibility, how important it is. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Romans 14, 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Well, the word edify means build. Just like Jesus is building the church, they're edifying, they're building. They're not just consuming and killing and using. They're building. Build people's lives and build people's souls and build the church and build your home. Build, do not tear down and do not destroy. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 through verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. And let us not, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. These are positive things. We're not in the darkness. We're not going to partake with those predators in the darkness. And a lot of cats are that way, predator in the darkness. And probably even some wolves, if they know where something's at, they're going to go get it. We're not that way. We're not going to be predators. We're builders. We're edifiers. We're strengtheners for God's people and for his church. That's what we do. We pay our tithing, as Don talked about today. We take care of what needs to be done. And if you don't have all that much money to give, it doesn't matter how much work. Someone has to mow the grass. God bless those who mow the grass. God bless people who take care of things and so that others may enjoy. That's the key. So others may enjoy. Romans 15, verse 1 to verse 7. Romans 15, 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Bear one another's infirmities when they're real. Bear them when they're real. Bear those things. And there are people that have weaknesses, and we're supposed to take care of them, you know, in the right way and help them to get over them or help them to take care of themselves. So that everyone can find some way of being productive if we possibly can. For the good to edification. And it says here, Christ pleased not himself. You know, I've heard someone say, well, Christ was unhappy with himself. It has nothing to do with that. No, he was pleasing God. Just as you, if you're going to be happy, please the people around you. In other words, what do they need? Is there something I can do? Is there something I can prepare? Is there something I can build? Is there something that someone needs? What do I need to do for the future? How can I help the future of the church, the future of my family, build, produce, edification, please others, to please them or to give them, you know, not necessarily to give them toys and candy and stuff like that, but things that are truly needed. Alma 20, verse 51. And they were doing that which they felt was the duty which they owed to their God. For the Lord had said unto them, and also unto their fathers, that inasmuch as ye are not guilty of the first offense, neither the second, ye shall not suffer yourselves to be slain by the hands of your enemies. You know, why did I put that in there? You know, men, there is a time and a place to put your life on the line. Most definitely. And it would be better to be killed and save somebody else. There is a time and a place to stand. Now, I'm not saying we don't have to be threatening people. We're going to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But there is a time. There is a place to stand. And we have to be willing to die, just as Jesus died for those around him, to care, to build, to be a shepherd, to protect, to edify. These things must continue to be done. 2 Nephi 1:36 and 37. This is the last scripture I'm going to read. 2 Nephi chapter 1, verse 36. Arise from the dust, my sons, and be men. Be determined in one mind and in one heart, united in all things, that ye may not come down into captivity, that ye may not be cursed with the sore cursing, and also that you may not incur the displeasure of a just God upon you, unto the destruction, yea, the eternal destruction of both soul and body. God requires men to be men, to be strong, to do what needs to be done, and the reason is so they won't be brought into captivity. And everything that men do, and this is what the example of my father, I don't want to, you know, put him up in so many things. He had errors in his life, and you don't have to be the kind of a man that accomplishes the things my dad did. I mean, he was incredible. You know, I'll never match him, but I see what he did. He built. He protected. He looked after. He looked after his community. He looked after his family. He thought of their future and the generations and his grandkids. This is what a man does, and a woman also. Well, so a man takes care of others. I have here, and I wrote it on the board when I was down there in Zamorano. I wrote women, and I wrote men, and I wrote two things that they needed to do, that they needed to prepare to do in life, to prepare for marriage or whatever. And so for the women, I put up there, and I put to prepare to live with a man in marriage, prepare to live, and I left it blank. And then for the, and it's a, this is a spiritual thing, okay? I just have a spiritual one and a temporal one. And the temporal one was prepare to make a blank blank to the marriage. That's the temporal one. Okay, so I'll fill those blanks in. To prepare to live with a man in marriage, prepare to live with Christ. You know, it's maybe an oversimplification, but it's really not. Prepare to live with Christ, and you will be fit for a home. Absolutely. So the temporal side, in marriage for a woman, prepare to make a significant contribution. A significant. Now, I mean that in its purest sense, a significant, a meaningful contribution to the marriage and to the home and to the life of your family, a significant one. So what does that mean? Well, you can all kinds of things. It could mean all kinds of things. It could mean maybe you're going to go to school. Maybe you're going to learn a job where you, if your husband was called or something, you could maybe go to work later on after your kids were grown. It means all kinds of stuff. It means maybe you need to learn how to count money and add and bake and sew and cook and make a garden and drive a car without getting in a wreck and going to, you know, and learning how to juggle and argue with the city of Phoenix over your water bill or what, you know. Be prepared to make a significant contribution to life. Those are the things. Don't be prepared to skate. Don't be prepared to ride in the car and do nothing. Be prepared to do something. And I'm sure that all of our sisters would say that's absolutely true. You gotta do something. You can't just skate along. Nobody's gonna, unless you're a predator. And then you can just get people to give you things and do things for you, and you just consume and all this and pray, and that's the kind of thing. But for a man, to prepare to live with a woman in marriage, prepare to live with blank and blank blank blank. It isn't really any different, you know. It's the same thing. It's true, but I added something. I like adding something more for men, and it's really the same for women. But I like the concept of adding something else for a man. To prepare to live with a woman in marriage, prepare to live with Christ and all His saints. Learn to live with other people. Learn to live, and of course, it's true of women. Learn to live with other people. And you will be ready for marriage. You've already done it. Learn how to do that. And for men, to make your significant contribution in the way of a temporal way, prepare to take care of everyone around you. Prepare to take care of everyone around you. Well, I brought here, if I can find it, it's in one of my pockets. Oh, there it is, right here. This was a sticker or a patch, I should say, that was the emblem for my father's outfit when he was at Luke Air Force Base. And when he went that, when he first started this job there at Luke Air Force Base, it was a temporary job, and they informed him one day, "We're going to make this your position a permanent full-time position." And they offered him the job, and he took it. And so when they were converting, they were getting these old World War II planes to, and it was the 302nd Air Rescue Squadron. And I still remember looking at these old Grumman albatrosses, kind of like something you'd see in a movie, you know. And they rattled, and they had four engines, and they made all kinds of noise, and they landed on the water, and they put the first boat ramp in at Lake Roosevelt, and you know, all kinds of stuff like that. Well, there is a phrase on here. Well, my father, when they were considered to be an air rescue squadron, he campaigned them to use a slogan that was used by the, I'm trying to think what they call these people. You know, you may have seen them or heard about them, but they're the people that jump out of helicopters and airplanes and paratroopers, and they jump in the water and they rescue people, and this is the kind of stuff they were doing in its early day. And this was something created, I think, at the beginning of World War II or something. And he campaigned to get this. At first they were going to give them to him. He said, well, And the interesting thing was, you know, he took that, and they finally gave it to him, and he made the number one air rescue squadron in the United States. Now, like I say, you don't have to be like my dad like that, because that's a gift. I can't do it, but you have to do something. This logo, to me, it explains everything I'm talking about. It's something for us, and it's four words. It says, that others may live. That others may live. That's what we're all about. Not die, not that I can get from others, that others may live. So put that in your mind. That's what Christians do. That's what Christian men and women do. They do things that others may live. God bless you.